Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Wendy Lahendra with the 412 Project.
Yes.
Here we are in the heart of downtown. Now, you may not get this from the camera shot, but we're inside a beautiful little kiosk right down by Gateway Center. The city is happening around us, and we are surrounded by beautiful photography of Pittsburgh.
Yes, I'm glad you like it.
Well, what is the 412 Project?
Well, it's an idea I had a couple years ago to just highlight the great talent that we have in this city. I was new to Instagram, and I was realizing that Pittsburgh has a ton of great photographers. They do great work, but they're mostly amateur, and is there a way to kind of bring them some exposure? And not only that, but highlight our lovely city as well, because it's so photogenic. So I had stumbled across the robot repair shop down by the cultural district a few years back and thought that was such a cool idea to have just a pop-up space where you didn't physically come in, you just kind of peeked in and you could see what was going on. So that was my original idea. So it was a year or so in the making and trying to work things out, and finally got together with some great folks from Instagram that I had no idea who they were, but slowly but surely met them, followed them on Instagram. You know, you get to kind of know people by liking their pictures and commenting.
Right, so you just see their like Instagram handle, right? Their like code name on there.
Yes.
I'm not the best Instagrammer.
And you need to do it.
I have a lot of questions about that.
Okay.
But so you kind of just followed like Bergman 101 and then like got to know them.
Exactly. You follow people and then you know, obviously you might love that picture and you're like, oh, that's awesome. And so then they might comment back, and then you eventually, you know, then they start following you, and then there's Instameets at a couple times.
Oh, we're going way too far down the rabbit hole. Sorry. For me. I mean, I still watch black and white movies and things. I need help.
Okay. Well, anyway, so that's how I got together with the group, and they were wonderful, and we pulled this off in a few months, and here we are.
So now, did you have sort of a curatorial process for this, for, you know, choosing the people from Instagram that you wanted to be involved in this project?
Not necessarily. When we opened it up to everyone, what we did is we gave them the general rules, which said, please hashtag your photo. So you had to put forward.
I do know what a hashtag
okay,
is.
Okay, great.
That's
great.
What we used to call a number sign.
Exactly.
Yeah, back when we had.
I know that. I'm with you there. So the folks would hashtag their photos 412 Project, and then we had this wonderful response. So we had all of this material to pick from. So we, as a team, decided we were each going to pick two people to highlight their photos. So it was very difficult. Believe me. I mean, it's hard. In fact, believe it or not, tonight is the night we reveal the artist for round two.
Oh.
So not only, this is round one, and then we're going to take these down and put a whole new batch up.
So that first round that you chose, their photos had the opportunity to be displayed here in
yes.
this indoor kiosk downtown.
Yes.
Which anybody can stop by and take a look at through the windows, right?
Exactly. It's 24/7. We have the lights on a timer, so they're on till about around 11, 11:30 in the evening. And then during the day, obviously, you can just walk by at any point. And so it's kind of threefold. Like I mentioned earlier, obviously we're highlighting the photographers. That was the biggest part of it. But then we're highlighting the city and maybe bringing people some exposure, or letting them see parts of the city that they may have never seen before, right? Or, oh, where is that? Or, oh, I'd like to check that out. And so not only that, then we're kind of sprucing up a space that had been unused. So this former visitor center had sat empty for many years. And then I was so excited when I noticed during the Arts Festival that they used it for the Lost and Found project, which is a great project. If anybody saw that, it was wonderful. And so then I was able to get in touch with the people that are managing this space, and they were wonderful. Everyone's been so great. So it's just been a true group effort of bringing it to life.
Great. So in a really still it's relevant to visitors. They can come here and in one pop-up gallery see some of the best of Pittsburgh by Pittsburgh's best amateur photographers.
Exactly. And just to mention, not only is it the folks that we chose, but it's also, of course, the team's work as well. So we're kind of mixed in there with the artists that we selected.
And, you know, the term amateur, I mean, sometimes it has a negative connotation, but I mean, it's just that they maybe are not promoting themselves as a photographer for sale, right?
Right. It's really, I have to be honest, the whole professional amateur is very tricky. It's like that thin line because we're not trying to, what do I want to say? We're not trying to single out or not highlight the professionals because obviously they're wonderful too. It's just that they, you know, if they're actually making a living as a photographer as opposed to just doing it as a hobby, that's what we were thinking. It's just giving the little guy a little more exposure rather than someone that already has that base or that business on a regular basis. So again, we love them too. Not to say if things would grow with this that we couldn't incorporate everybody, but starting out, we were just hoping to highlight the amateur.
Sure. Things. And really, the line between amateur and professional has changed a lot, I think, with the fantastic photos that you're just able to take on your phone now.
It's incredible. iPhones are amazing. A lot of these pictures, I mean, a lot of these are just from iPhones, and so they might not be able to get the size of a regular, you know, SLR camera, but they still do amazing work. My cousin right now is in Montana. She works at near Glacier National Park, and her pictures are phenomenal, and she is using an iPhone. So it's true.
Now, this city, as you said, is very photogenic. It's been photographed so many ways, so many times, over so many years. So now, at this point, what stands out to you as a great photo of Pittsburgh? What now makes a great photo?
I'll tell you what, that's a very good, interesting, kind of tricky question because I grew up in Pittsburgh. I'm born and raised here. I moved away over the years and came back, always came back. I love the city. I work downtown now, and I honestly have to say I'm amazed at how I can see the same thing in like PPG, for instance. I've taken a million, figuratively, but pictures of PPG, but just the lighting at different times or the time of year, and it's like new to me. Or I see someone else's picture of how they discovered it. Perfect example is the, I hope I have it correct, the U.S. the Steel Building over on Boulevard of the Allies, right back here.
Okay.
I'm gonna probably mess it up. It's a really cool building. It's been photographed on Instagram so many times. I even said it would be cool to have like a booklet or something that just highlights the way different people do it, the way they edit it. Mm-hmm. So it's the same exact shot, but it still looks very cool. So it's hard for me to pick one thing because I love unique things, like a weird angle or perspective. The bridges obviously are so amazing. You can take them at different times, like the lighting, there's a lot to appreciate. So I can't pick one little thing.
Well, yeah, I think just maybe from your own point of view and your own history with photography, but is there one piece here now that really stands out as a favorite, or it's too tough to pick one?
I would feel so bad. I do sort of have, it's hard. I have a couple favorites, but I'd hate to single out because honestly, I do think that the people here that we were working with are all great. And of course, that sounds sort of cliche-ish, but I really... You know, obviously some are stronger than others and some look totally more professional, but you can really appreciate, I think, each person's own, creative vision of what they see when through their camera.
Now, I'm sure that there are, some obvious photography spots that show up a lot in Pittsburgh photography. The Point, shots from Mount Washington. But is there anything that you've seen come through here that was a little maybe more not so obvious or unusual that somebody really took a look at that, photographers typically hadn't before or maybe portrayed it in a different light?
Yeah, I've seen, for instance, I'll tell you, even these shots, you'll see some of these when they're through the fence and it's the long exposure and it's just of the road at night. And I just think that's a different shot because that's not something you're seeing all the time. I've seen some interesting shots that I'm still not sure because sometimes people don't always put where it was taken, but there's some, not necessarily a skyline shot, it is the city, but it's some from so far off in a distance and surrounded by trees. It's like it has a really good composition, and I'm like, wow. Then and that's kind of fun because you're like, where did they take that? Where is that? And that's a way to meet someone when you comment, like, hey, where was this? And then they write back, and you're like, oh, that's cool. I've never been there. I'll have to check it out.
So do you find that it's sort of a tight-knit community, then, of cell phone photographers out there?
It's interesting because, I mean, I by far don't know all of the local ones, but I've had the pleasure of meeting quite a bit, and you sort of kind of know, you know, that they know this person or they know that person. Or, for instance, when we had our kickoff for this a few weeks back, a lot of people had really like, oh yeah, I've been following you, or oh yeah, I met you at the last Instameet. So it does seem like Instagram is bringing the local photographers together, which I think is great. Why not build community? That's what I'm hoping this will do as well.
So now if I get schooled a little bit on Instagram and I consider myself a pretty good amateur photographer, how can I get involved with 412 Project?
Sure. Well, the first thing to do is to look us up at 412 Project and follow us.
That's on Instagram.
On Instagram.
The at 412 Project on Instagram.
And then you can just keep abreast of the update. So for instance, like I mentioned today, we are gonna hopefully in a couple hours put up the round two selected featured artists that we've selected. And then hopefully if this continues, depending on the time frame, we're still sort of working things out. This is all grassroots and new, so we're learning as we go. But if we continue, then we would have, you know, a set time frame where maybe every month and a half, it's going to trade out because we'll never run out of material. There are, you know, it was hard for us to just pick two, and you figure for each artist, they have hundreds of pictures, right? So it would be great to say, oh, here's five of this one artist and five of this artist, but you're limited by space and you want to highlight as many artists as possible. But if you wanted to, then you could follow along. When we open it up again, you start hashtagging your photos. And then, if you get lucky, you know, depending on how it works, you might get selected. So there's no rhyme or reason. We don't have a set thing like we're looking for this certain quality or something. It's just sort of a subjective thing, like what we like, what catches our eye. At least that's how I do it.
And then, yeah, again, we can walk by and see these photos pretty much anytime here in the little kiosk.
Anytime, yes. And if it continues, which we'd love for it to do, then we had talked about doing specific themes. So right now, it just sort of happened that this first one was pretty much of the city itself. Mm-hmm. But there's so many opportunities to do various other options. You know, even if you just said, okay, next round's all going to be black and white, or all bridges, mm-hmm. or all parks, or all neighborhoods, or, you know, of course, sports teams. So the possibilities are endless of what we can do if it continues. So if anybody wants to have us in their empty storefront, feel free to reach out.
So the gallery then could move in the future.
Correct. It could move or it could stay here and open up an additional space. Mm. We're open to all options.
Very good. So we'll have to keep in touch with you to see what to expect.
Yes.
Now, the one thing I see a lot of people doing when they're doing the photos on their cameras is using filters.
Yes.
You know, to make it look all sorts of crazy ways. Are you a filter kind of gal? Do you favor the filter?
I have to admit, yes. In fact, I used to be a purist back in the day, and I would say to my friend who used Photoshop, like, oh no, I only want what comes out of my camera. Meanwhile, she's like, you don't understand, Wendy. Once you start using, you know, these editing tools, you'll love it. And sure enough, on Instagram, I have my normal photo, and then I click through some of the filters, and you're like, wow, not only that, there's apps that you can even do additional things. Mm-hmm. So when I started brightening up the colors and lightening, I'm like, wow, this is great. And it's amazing how you can take one picture that looks so dull, and by the time you're done, it's like, wow. And it's kind of, I guess you consider it kind of cheating, but in a way, it's just bringing out, you know, the beauty of it.
Even more. Well, now reality is going to get dull in comparison. You know,
exactly.
They're going to come up with contact lenses or something that are filtered
so that
we're seeing the world like that. Well, they already have, I think, sunglasses like that.
Rose-colored glasses, right?
Yeah, but I mean really, I saw an infomercial, you know, they have this about these sunglasses you put on that make all the colors more vivid and things like that.
Yes,
yeah?
I've seen those, yes.
So I think that maybe is the way we're going with this. Filters are taking over.
It might be, yes. And maybe even 3D, wouldn't that be cool too?
So
you see color and 3D, like the hologram.
Well, did Google Glasses come out?
They did, but I don't know what happened. It kind of faded. There was a big, like, brouhaha, right? People were upset because they were feeling like they were getting filmed in the bars and things, and then people wouldn't let them bring them in. So I don't know if that's still out there, if it was fad or...
Yeah.
I'm not that techie, I don't know.
Now, are primarily all the photos that are coming on to Instagram, I mean, they are, for the most part, all taken with a phone, correct?
It actually varies. Some people in their profile, they will actually put what they use. So they might say an iPhone and a Nikon, whatever. Some people just say iPhone only. Some people don't say anything, so you're not really sure. So it's a mixture, but I would guess, if I had to guess, I would think the majority would be cell phones rather than digital cameras.
Because my understanding, as far as it extends, of Instagram is the Insta part of it, meaning that I just took this on my phone and I'm posting it immediately to Instagram.
Yes.
So it's that's why I figure it's got to be mostly from the phones.
I think that's part of it too. Yes, because if you have it on your camera, then you want to edit it and then you have to transfer it back to either. I don't think you can upload straight onto Instagram on the web. On the computer, a laptop, you know, a PC, I think you have to put it back on your phone, you know, put email that picture back to you and then upload it. So it takes a little more time. So yes, I know for myself, the majority, pretty much all of the ones I take are with my phone. Quick, because it is. That's the convenience of it. It's fast.
Now, I've got a great iPhone, but I mean, I can't even take good pictures with it. And it's not the phone's fault. I know it's mine. I mean, it's always, you know, I can never get the lighting right. It's either too dark or too bright or too much flash, because flash can be really offensive. You know what I mean?
Flash is tough.
I try not to use it at all because nothing looks good. Nobody looks good in a dark room with a flash on them. Right. It's
scary.
It's just from the worst angles and the shadows are really bad. I don't think filters could even help me with it without.
I think you're too hard on yourself. I think you have to give yourself a little more
practice. All right. Well, maybe I will venture into this for round two or round three, because I think round two you're choosing now.
Yes.
So maybe for round three, I'll get on there, I'll start snapping some pictures, and then we'll see.
All right.
Be kind, you know? I think I'll make my name, you know, like, that'll be it, be kind.
There you go.
With
the
letter B-K-I-N-D.
I like that. I like
412. Please. But I'm trying to think, what if I were to go out and shoot, I mean, I love Point State Park. And actually, I was out on a boat recently around the point, and I took some, you know, quick photographs from the water of Pittsburgh. And, you know, that's a completely different view when you are in the river seeing this city, because we're so used to, you know, driving over these bridges. But I got on a Gateway Clipper one time just for the heck of it. You know, I had a friend come in from out of town. Mm-hmm. And I always, you know, find that sometimes it takes a tourist to come in to remind you of what a great, beautiful city you live in.
Yes, I've done that with my friend.
So she and I went on Gateway Clipper, and there was something about it. You see this city from a completely different perspective, being on the rivers and looking up at it on both sides of you.
You're right. And I was just going to, it's funny you mentioned the Gateway Clipper, because I was going to say, if you follow their account, they have some amazing pictures on there because of getting from their vantage point from being on the water. It's great. In fact, I was surprised, not necessarily from the water, but a couple people have posted pictures at night of the fountain, like you were mentioning, and it's so cool to see it because at night, the outside of the fountain is actually lit up. Not only the fountain itself, but around it. So that's pretty cool too. So I learned something new. I never realized that.
I think I might have a niche as a downtown Pittsburgh wildlife photographer.
Whoa.
Think about that. You know, the pigeons.
There you go.
The occasional rat, you know.
I just heard about that in the tea. Yeah. I guess there's some problem.
Oh, really? That
maybe
there are rats in the tea?
I mean, that's the big story tonight.
Well, compared to New York, that's nothing. Really, we've got a bit, but there could be. I mean,
we don't have pizza eating rats, do we? Yet.
They're pierogi.
Or permani.
pierogi eating rats in
exactly,
Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
Permani brothers, yeah. If they, I can't even get a Permani's sandwich in my mouth. I can't imagine that a rodent would fare very well and feed them for years. But yeah, a urban wildlife photographer. So, but what else do we? Pigeons, rats. I mean, every once in a while you'll get a rabbit that'll sneak into like an area.
Maybe a raccoon. I don't know.
Yeah. But I'll shoot them like National Geographic and make it like really vivid.
There you go. You can get them getting a fry off
right.
the ground.
Right. So you just see a pigeon eating a fry, but really, you know, I'll
get
down there with my safari hat, my filters. You'll swear you're watching Wild Kingdom.
Before you know it, you're going to be famous.
Yeah.
And you can thank us for it, the 412 Project.
I'm sure.
Inspiring
you. And I'm sure that you've launched a lot of you know, inspirational careers here. You know, I mean, just looking at some of the, I mean, really, they do look professional.
And I have to say, these, all of these right here are actually from one of our team members, and he does great work. And
he does.
Yeah, so it was nice to, obviously, like I mentioned, feature our own work as well as the artists that we pick.
Well, Pittsburgh is beautiful, and I think there really is something to gathering all these different viewpoints of it here in the heart of the city. So we certainly wish you all the best.
Well, thank you.
And
so much.
Hope that you and your team are keep snapping photos out there. But now, if you see me stumbling out of Eddie Merlot's, like, you know, at 1 a.m., just keep the camera.
Just I'm like, what are you doing? Looking for pigeons now?
Right. They'll be looking for me to fall over. But I think it's great what you've got going on here. And
Thank you.
I encourage everybody to come on down and check it out.
Yes, please do. Please do. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can go to our website, which is 412project.org, and you can read a little bit more about the artist. So just so you know, too, round one, the artists have their information on the website with a little bit of a bio. And that will stay up. So each round, you know, those folks will still stay on the website, and then the round two folks will be added. So you can learn a little bit more about them. If you're interested in following them, you can find out their Instagram handle or email them directly. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in their pictures and you want to possibly purchase something, you can contact them for that as well.
Great. Okay. On a roll there.
Yeah.
So, and we also want to encourage photographers to be submitting their work and following
tagging
you.
Please do. Follow Tag 412 Project at any point. I mean, we obviously open it up for the various rounds, but people tag them every day, all day, which is fine. Obviously, that gives us more to pick from. It makes it a little difficult because we have so many.
Right.
But it's fun.
Good. Fun is good. And
yes.
Fun is beautiful, as we see here at the 412 Project. So cheers to you and all of your photographers and this beautiful city of Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.